Come on, can we celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Come on, can we give God the best praise that we can all over this place? Come on, y'all can do better than that. Come on, show him some love. And also, too, again, unorthodox, man, we've been speaking to our neighbor and holding each other's hand, but can you do me a favor? Just hold your neighbor's hand, the one you came in with. Look him right in the face and just tell him, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you showed up. You don't know the week I've had. Come on, you don't know what it took for me to get here. Come on, but I'm glad I got somebody who's going to celebrate, shout, praise with me this morning. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. 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 So grateful to be here with you all, man. Listen, I'm glad I'm tagged into the sermon series, Good Life. So we're going to jump right in. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 21 and verse 23. Matthew 25, verse 21, verses 23. If you haven't, say, I've got it. Come on, if that's not you, say, it's on the screen. Come on. Amen. 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 And it reads like this. Both of these verse say the same exact statement. He said, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Again, verse 23 says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. Over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. And our pastor, who is over this house, has declared that this is the year of multiplication. He believes and prays for multiplication over every individual and over every house that is connected to this house. Even if this is your first time, you're connected. Even if you are visiting, you're connected. Even if you haven't decided to say, hey, I want this church to be my church home, guess what? Today you are connected. And guess what the body of this church is doing? Praying that this is the year of multiplication in your life. And he believes God's intended purpose for our lives is for us in this season, for us to multiply. Theologian Charles Eric Lincoln says it like this: the church is called to be a community of multiplication where faith is shared and grown and lives are transformed. So guess what? I believe today the Lord has given us a way for God to multiply in our lives according to the scriptures, Matthew 25, 21, and 23. Everybody say multiply. Multiply. It states the exact same message. Here it is. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy. That's right. Y'all heard it. Here it is. Fresh off the press. Nothing new. Y'all saw it. Multiplication comes through the fruit of faithfulness. And I'm a believer. If we are faithful enough, guess what? God will multiply more than enough. Which brings us to this exact text this morning. Jesus is in the middle of closing his sermon. And he uses a parable to set it up. This parable, y'all, is about a man going on a journey. But before he left, he gave three of his servants some talents according to their own ability. He gave one servant five talents. Say five. Another servant two. Say two. And another servant one. Say one. While the man was on his journey, the servant with five talents, guess what? Got five more. The servant with two got two more talents, but the one that had one talent hid his talent, and guess what? His talent didn't multiply. Then the man returned after a long time to settle with his servants, and to come to find out, only two of the three servants doubled in talents, which in return he told them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Now I will put you in charge of many things because your masters, now share in your master's joy. Because these two men were faithful. Because these two men displayed faithfulness, the master produced multiplication in their lives. According to the text, it was their faithfulness with and their faithfulness to what the master gave them that caused the master to produce multiplication. This was the master's possession. These talents belong to the master. It was the master's decision to put what belonged to him into the hands of his servant. He took away what was his, what he worked for, and took it out of his hands and gave it to the hands of his servants. And because the servants displayed and showed the fruit of faithfulness, the master produced multiplication in their lives. And that's all I came to tell somebody this morning. That's only the reason why I showed up. If you don't get anything out of what I'm talking about in this message this morning, all I wanted to tell you, if you and I are faithful over a few, guess what? The Lord will multiply. And if you and I show and display faithfulness to and over what he gave us, then the master will produce multiplication in our lives. And I don't know about any of you this morning, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, I can use some multiplication in my life. I don't know about you this morning. I can use some increase in my life in every area. I don't know about you. I can get some more joy. Come on. I don't know about you. I can use some more patience. I don't know about you. I can use some more love. Come on. I don't know about you. I can use some more self-control. Come on. I don't know about you. I want God to elevate and elevate an increase in every area of my life. There's some areas that I fall short, and I just wish he would just increase my territory. Am I preaching to anybody that says, I just want to God to multiply? Y'all, and Jesus, he uses parables to tell stories, to parallel what he wants to convey to those who are willing to listen. Y'all, he uses parables to help the listener to get a better understanding of what the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach. He breaks down the very lesson to those who are listening to him so they can get a better understanding of the lesson. And in this parable, Jesus is teaching on what it takes and what will come out of if you and I are faithful over a few things that the Lord gives us. And let me be perfectly clear today. Everything that Jesus gives us is a gift. Okay? He doesn't have to give us anything, but he chooses to give it to us anyway. The gift he gives us isn't something you and I deserve, but he chooses to give us gifts anyway. Come on. The gift of life, he gave to us. The gift of a healthy mind, come on, he gave to us. The gift of our soul, he gave to us. The gift of the spirit that's on the inside of us, y'all, he gave to us. The anointing that's on you and our lives, guess what? He gave to us. The air we breathe this morning, guess what? He gave to us. The ability to be able to breathe is a gift from God. The family that we're in is a gift. The job that the Lord has given us is a gift. The car we drive is a gift. The living space we walk into daily is a gift. And I don't know who I'm preaching to and says the Lord hasn't blessed me. Can I tell you, the devil is a liar? The Lord has been given good and perfect gifts ever since you've been walking this good green earth. Am I preaching to anybody that can say I'm grateful for the gifts that Jesus has given me? Y'all, and don't get it twisted this morning. Every gift from God is good and perfect. Because James says it in James 1, verses 16 through 17. Don't be deceived, y'all, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And I'm a believer today that every gift that you and I have given by God is a good gift. Is anybody can attest it with me that whatever Jesus has given you has been a good gift? It's been a perfect gift because he didn't have to give it to me. I don't know about y'all. I'm excited about the gift of life. I'm excited about the gift of salvation because he could have left me where I was. He could have left me stranded. He could have left me addicted. He could have left me where I was. But guess what? He came to see about me. Y'all, I'm a believer that the Lord gives us our gifts according to our own abilities, with the expectation that we would appreciate what he gives us and also be faithful to the gift. Maybe it's about to get tight. I promise. And I apologize. Don't shoot me, shoot the messenger. Maybe that's the reason right there why some of us haven't clapped since we got in here. Maybe some of us haven't shouted because we haven't experienced multiplication yet in the first 6 months of the year. And maybe the reason why some of us haven't experienced it is because we haven't been faithful over a few things. I'm going to let it sit for a second. Maybe from all the disagreeing and I don't believe in the reason why it ain't happened yet, it's because we haven't been faithful over a few. And here's what I love about this scripture. All Jesus is really asking us is to do is to be faithful over a few. Not a lot, not much, but just a few. Just a little. And we put all this pressure on ourselves and get overwhelmed and worried. But all Jesus wants you to be is faithful over what he gives you. And maybe the reason why what he has given us hasn't multiplied is because guess what? We haven't been faithful over the few that he's given us. And let's be honest, faithfulness is hard to come by these days. I've seen and heard many stories of individuals who abort assignments and tasks and missions too early because they have a hard time being faithful to it. I've seen and heard many stories of people who sit on or hide their gifts because they have a hard time stewarding what was given to them. I've seen families crumble. I've seen jobs and organizations collapse. I've seen marriages cave in. I've seen dreams and hopes crash because of the lack of faithfulness. Matter of fact, the world does a great job of marketing unfaithfulness. Movies titled Unfaithfulness. TV shows like Love Island just reeks unfaithfulness. I mean, every show, every week, just unfaithful. Our government, who we put our trust in, supposed to, cheating on its own country. Just unfaithfulness. Y'all, and here is the kicker when it comes to unfaithfulness. To my knowledge, not being faithful to what the Lord gives us leads to subtraction. Notice in the text, the servant with the one talent wasn't faithful to the master's possessions. And it was taken away from him. Y'all, let this be a lesson for us this morning. that the master who gives the gifts has the right to take away from us what he gives us if we aren't faithful. You don't believe me? It's in the Bible. Adam and Eve were unfaithful. The Lord took them out of the garden. King Saul was unfaithful to the Lord's instructions, and the kingdom was taken from him. David, King David, was unfaithful, and his firstborn child with Bathsheba was taken from him. Y'all, unfaithfulness can lead to subtraction. And I don't know about y'all. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't need the Lord to take anything away from me in this season of my life that has been given to me by him. Y'all, I can't afford the Lord to subtract from me. I got 6 kids. Y'all laughing. Nobody went to praying. I got 6 of them. And I can't afford for the Lord to subtract from me. I need all the multiplying in the world. Matter of fact, I need all that is intended for me to have. For be honest with y'all, if it's pressed out and shaken together, I'll take it. If the windows of heaven have opened up, guess what? I'll take the overflow. Am I preaching to anybody that says, I don't know about you, but if you don't want it, give it to me. Because I can stand a little multiplication in my life. There's some stuff in my house. There's some stuff in my life. There's some stuff on my job. I just need God to increase my territory. But if we're unfaithful, it could be subtracted from you. But according to this text this morning, there is a way to counter subtraction. You and I can stand a chance of multiplication in our lives if we are faithful over a few things. Y'all, I need you to catch it, because if we are late to the job, if we aren't faithful and getting to the job on time, guess what's being subtracted from us? Come on, money. Being honest with you, if we aren't faithful to where we are in our lives, things could be taken away from me as a husband. If I'm not faithful to my wife, guess what can happen? It can be taken away from me. I'm trying to paint a picture to somebody. If you're not faithful to the maintenance on your car, guess what the Lord can do? He can take it away from you. Y'all, we spend a lot of our time and resources on trying to be something faithful that can't produce anything to you. But I'm preaching to somebody today that says the Lord wants us to be faithful to him. And if we're faithful to him, eyes have not seen. May I suggest that this could be the season for some of us, that the master is testing us with what he has given us just to see how faithful we are with it. Maybe this is testing season time for some of us. Maybe he wants to give you a little just to see how you're going to act. Maybe he wants to sprinkle a little bit in front of you just to see what you're going to do. Maybe this is the season the Lord has says, try me and watch what I'll do for you. Come on, I don't know who this is for, but I feel it in my spirit, because the Lord has placed something in front of you and put something in your hands, and he is trying to see what's your next steps that you're going to do. He's trying to see how faithful you're going to be with it, because there's something on the other side of it. But you and I have to be faithful to it. He wants to produce multiplication in our lives. And that's what I believe is happening in the story this morning, that the Lord is giving this parable to his disciples to show them that the Lord, the master in this story, is testing his servants. So the question, y'all, I had to ask myself while preparing, because when I'm preparing, it's all right to ask questions, was why did the master even give his servants these talents that belong to him? And if I can give you real practicality of one talent right now in your possession can purchase you a new home. And he took a talent. One of them got five. One of them got two. Another one got one. Lord, test me. Please test me. Y'all, come on. Don't act like you won't. Please test me with a talent. Come on. But here it is. Maybe the Lord is testing us. So in my theological imagination, it was a test for the servant's stewardship, just to see what they would do with it. Because the master, here it is, already had in his mind a plan to reward his servants because of their faithfulness. The Lord says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for you to prosper and not to be harmed by me, for you to have an expected end and a future." Can I tell you, maybe the Lord is testing you and I with it, because he already knows the reward that he has for you on the other side. Y'all, and the good news for some of us this morning, because there is a reward for us on the other side of faithfulness. Proverbs 3 and 34, 3, 30 through 4 says, "Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard with God and people." Proverbs 28 and 20 says it like this: "A faithful person will have many blessings, but one in a hurry to get rich will not go unpunished." Revelations 2 and 10, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Can I tell you that the Lord has a plan for your faithfulness? Can I tell you that the Lord has a plan for your faithfulness? The Lord has a plan, and there is a reward on the other side of your faithfulness. This is how you and I move from just surviving to thriving, because the Lord is calling us to be faithful unto him. Jesus wants to give us life and life more abundantly. All we got to be is faithful to the life that he has given us. Jesus wants us to be more than conquerors, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. Jesus wants us to be the head and not the tail. He wants us to be above and not beneath. He wants us to be priests. He wants us to be somebody who doesn't mind giving the gospel to somebody out here in the world. Who am I preaching to that says Jesus has a plan for my faithfulness? And because he has a plan for my faithfulness, what should you and I know about faithfulness? Point number one, faithfulness doesn't have a time limit. Notice the text says, after a long time, everybody say long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Matthew 25 and 19. He says, after a long time. Whew, a long time. The master then came and settled the accounts with them. The master never told the servants
what day he will be back. He never told them what time he would be arriving. Matter of fact, he never even told them he was coming back. But the expectation was for the servants to be faithful until the master came back to settle their accounts. And for some of you, probably have this question. Lord, I've been faithful over a few things, but we are waiting on you. Jesus, I'm waiting for you to make good on your promises. Jesus, it seems like you're taking your sweet time. Is there anybody else's testimony? It seems like Jesus just, am I the only one? Am I the, it feel like, I told you I got six kids. I just need Jesus to, I need you to. Hurry up, Jesus, hurry up. I can be transparent. I don't know, some of y'all probably look at it, it's me, but I don't want to. I'm telling y'all, it seems like to me sometimes. It seems like it. And y'all, and it seems like he's taking it all his time, but we have to be careful though. In our waiting seasons, y'all. And some of you may be in your waiting season today. Because oftentimes we might fall into the trap or the temptation of impatience, which causes us to throw in the towel prematurely or to be haste in our decision making, which can cause disruption in the plans that the Lord has for us. It could put a delay on what the Lord is trying to do in our lives if we get out here and start making decisions on our own. Again, I'll be transparent. There were some times in my life where I felt like he was taking his time, and I said, look, I got to do something. I got to make some things shake, y'all. But realistically, can I be honest? Every time I did it on my own and didn't wait on the Lord, I messed it up. And then want to blame the devil. Like I'm talking to myself. I talk to you. Feel like I want to give the devil the credit for something I wasn't faithful to. It was his fault. Come on, some of us have thrown some tantrums because we thought the devil was the reason why it didn't happen for us. Realistically, it was us. Come on, it was me, because I didn't wait on him. Y'all, we can mess around and be haste and cause a delay, cause some disruptions, cause a distraction to what the Lord is trying to do in our lives. But the Bible says he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek after him. Y'all, and diligently does not mean 5 weeks. Diligently doesn't even mean 5 months. Shoot, it don't even mean 5 years. Some of you are still waiting on promise from God for a long time. But that don't mean he's not going to show up. What does it mean? If you and I are faithful to the Lord, no matter how long it takes, there is a reward with your name on it. No matter how long it will come, guess what? It has a name with your, it has a reward with your name on it. Because I'm a believer. Old church was saying, when God shows up, he shows up right on. When God shows up, he shows up right on. And I don't know about y'all, I'd rather his time than my time. When he shows up, he'll make sure the distractions are erased. When he shows up, he'll make sure there's no disruption. When he shows up, he's getting the enemy out of the way. Sometimes you gotta wait on the Lord, because those who wait on the Lord shall mount up on wings like eagles. Who am I preaching to that can help me to preach this sermon and says, I gotta wait on the Lord? Y'all, there's a reward with our name on it. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says it like this. For every one of God's promises is yes And amen. Therefore, through him, we also say amen to the glory of God. And I'm not sure who it is, but please hang on in there. Please don't abort the mission, y'all. Please don't wave the blue flag. Please don't make a hasty decision, because in due season, you shall reap what you sow. And I don't know who this is for, but you're getting ready to give up, but the Lord says don't do it. You're getting ready to give in. The Lord says don't do it. The Lord says hang on in there, because I'm a believer. If you got something to hang on, listen, you are just halfway on the way. Who am I preaching to that says I got to hang on? Hang on like the woman with the issue of blood. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, God is going to make a way. And y'all, I know God is going to multiply, because you're sitting in a place. You are visiting at a church. Matter of fact, you are connected to a house that hung on in there. Come on. It's hard to birth a church from the ground up. Come on. And this church had to go through a pandemic. When I first started, y'all, we were only at one service. Now we're at two services. Somebody say multiply. Come on, when I first started, we were only servicing 60 people. Now we're seeing almost 400. The Lord says multiply. Come on, listen. Serve Day yesterday was tremendous for us. When I started, we had 3 sites and maybe 30 volunteers. Yesterday, we had 12 sites and over 100 volunteers. If you're connected to this house, watch God multiply your house. Who am I preaching to that understands? I gotta stay connected, because if I'm connected here, he'll do it for my house. Somebody don't want to celebrate. Matter of fact, you ought to give God celebratory praise right now. Because he's done it for my pastor. He's done it for the Bridge Church. And if he's done it for the Bridge Church, he'll do it for me. As for me and my house. Y'all, it's multiplication all around. And for some of y'all, some of us, we need evidence. We like doubting Thomas. We need to put our hands in the middle of Jesus's hands to see it for ourselves. And for you, I just gave you some evidence. I just gave you some real tangible evidence. I just showed you what the Lord can do. Matter of fact, for some of you, that's your testimony. Since you've been connected here, the Lord has been multiplying. Since you said, God, I'm going to be committed to the church, I'm going to be multiplying. Who am I preaching to that says, if God didn't lead me here, the multiplication wouldn't have taken place? Faithfulness does not have a time limit. Jesus can show up when he wants to. He can take time if he wants to. Ask those his friends that was waiting on Lazarus to be risen. They got mad at him because he was taking his sweet, I told y'all, y'all thought I was the only one, taking his sweet time. But when Jesus showed up, he showed up right on time. And that's for somebody right now. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and you feel like I'm going to make some moves. Don't you do it. Because I'd rather Jesus do it than me do it. Because when he does it, it's on time. Y'all, and then number two, faithfulness isn't based on how much is given. If we notice in our story, there is a difference of amount of talents that were given to the servants. Again, y'all, I got to ask questions. Why did my man get 5 and the other one get 2 and another one got 1? I was talking to somebody in between services. You know, you read this story, you try to figure out which one are you in this scenario. Am I the one with 5? Am I the one with 2? Or am I the one with 1? Oh, my goodness. Like, you try to put yourself in that picture. And we trying to figure out. And I was like, Holy Spirit, why? And then doing some digging. The text, notice what the text says. The master gave to each one according to their own ability. Which means to me, he trusted one servant with five. He can trust another servant with two. And he can trust another servant with one. The master knew what the servants can handle. They have been up under him, and I'm not sure for how long, but he's seen what their hands can do when they're to the plow. He already knows what they can do, so he knows who to give what and who to give what to. And maybe the reason why we have what we have and others around us have what they have, because he knows what you and I can handle. Y'all, that's what I love about God. He knows what I can handle. So he trusts me with what I can handle. Because in faith, he knows I won't mess it up. Some of us want too much at the wrong time. And the Lord says, just take care of what I'm giving you and allow me to do the multiplication. Some of us said, I want it all. You can get it all, but until you handle what I'm giving you. I realize sometimes access isn't given to us because the Lord doesn't trust us with it. Whew. Y'all, but no matter what he gives me or how much he trusts me with, the requirement is still the same. Be faithful to it. Y'all, sometimes our issue is looking at someone else, what someone else has, and how much they have. And we start comparing what the Lord has done for others, talking about why he did that for them and not for me. I've been in this thing for a long time. Y'all know how we do. I'm trying to figure out how they got this promotion or how they got this car or how they walking into this house or how they sing like that. I don't know, God, you're singing. I want to sing too. But anyway, how they get like that. But how? Sometimes we compare. But y'all, you can't compare in the kingdom because your gift is as important as somebody else's gift. Y'all, we can't pay attention to what others are doing or what others have and be faithful to what we have been given at the same time. It's already tough enough trying to balance what we have already. We can't be worried about other people's business. But y'all, what we can do is celebrate what God is doing in our neighbor's life. And I think that's another reason why some of us haven't multiplied instead of sticking our lips out and putting our head down because of somebody else, what somebody else got. We ought to be celebrating the fact that Jesus is giving out gifts. Who am I preaching to that says today I'm going to celebrate my neighbor? Matter of fact, look at your neighbor and tell him I celebrate you this morning. Matter of fact, I'm going to give God a big thank you this morning for what he's doing in your life. Can anybody get up and celebrate with me the fact that God is doing something in my neighbor's life? Can you just give God praise for 30 seconds? Because God is doing something miraculous for my neighbor. I'm not praising him for me. I'm praising him for somebody else. Come on, look at the multiplication that just happened. Come on, when praises go up, come on, blessings come down. Who am I preaching to that says thank you for my neighbor? Y'all, we can't measure our gifts based on someone else's gift. What somebody else has don't have nothing to do with me. Our gifts were made uniquely for us. What God has for you is for you. And what God has for me is for me. And I'm going to be honest. I want what's for me. I don't want to wear nobody else's armor. I don't want nobody else's gift. I don't want anyone else's anointing. I want what's best for me. And that's how you and I can honor God this morning, by being faithful over a few things. We should be faithful for what's for us, and don't worry about what somebody else has. I can honor God and say, thank you for the gift. Thank you for the anointing on my life. Thank you for the singing gift. Thank you for the welcoming gift. Thank you for the servant's heart. Thank you. Is there anybody else that got a thank you? Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the righteousness that's on my life. Thank you for the miracle that happened to me. Thank you. Thank you for the clothes that's on my back. Who am I preaching to that can say I am giving God the praise and saying thank you for what's for me? And can I tell you, faithfulness ought to be our second nature. It should be our second nature. And I know we on the installment number 8 or 7, 7 or 8, but I think faithfulness ought to exude out of us. I think faithfulness might as well be number one. And you know why I think it should be number one? Because it's been God who has been faithful to us. Shoot, he has been faithful to us even when we haven't been faithful to our own selves. Even when we haven't been faithful to him, God has always been faithful. And I'm so glad that we have a God in Jesus who shows us what it means to be faithful. I'm glad Jesus isn't just a do as you say Jesus. He's a Jesus that will also show us how to do it. When people turn their back on me, he's been a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When I gave up on myself, he never left me nor forsaken me. When I was looking for love in the wrong places, he loved me first. Despite all of my flaws, is there anybody in here glad at the fact that you got a God in Jesus who has been faithful? He woke you up this morning. He's been faithful. He put clothes on your back. He's been faithful. He kept you in your right mind. He's been faithful. Who am I preaching to that says he's been faithful? They counted me out, but he counted me in. He's been faithful. They gave up on me, but he came to see about me. He's been faithful. Is there anybody at the Bridge Church that can say thank you for being faithful for my life? Now share in the master's joy. What's his joy? He died for me and you. What's his joy? He got buried for me and you. What's his joy? He snatched the keys from the enemy. What's his joy? On the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. Now power has been multiplied unto me. Who am I preaching to that says thank you? Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Good is thy faithfulness. Mercies are new every morning. Good is thy faithfulness. Won't he do it? Come on, won't he do it? Hasn't he done it? He will do it. Come on, give him praise. Come on, all over this place. Come on, stand to your feet. And this message was for somebody who feels like they've been stuck. And the Lord wants you to be free today. Listen to me. The multiplication part is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to be faithful over a few. You let God do the multiply. Listen, take off the weight of the world on your shoulders. This don't have nothing. You don't have to prove to nobody. The Lord says, if you're faithful over a few, I'm going to make you ruler over many. The Lord is going to be doing the one putting the place, and He is going to give you the peace that you're looking for. He'll give you the joy that you stand in need of. He'll give you the love that you're looking for. And not just any love, love that overflows, love that's abundantly, life that'll happen more and more if we're just faithful. Come on, with our hands raised, this is for somebody today who came and says, I know I haven't been as faithful as I should be, but today, God, I got 6 months for multiplication to happen in my life. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to be faithful to what the doctor has told me to do. What I'm going to do, I'm no longer going to sit on my gift. I'm going to give it to you. What I am going to do, I'm going to get to my job on time. Amen. Amen. What I'm going to do, all you're asking me to do is to be faithful over what you have given me. I can't worry about everybody else. I got to be faithful to what you've given me. I can't look at what the Lord is doing for somebody else. I got to be faithful to what you've given me. So today, with every eyes closed and hands lifted, Lord, we thank you in advance for your forgiveness. God, forgive us for not being faithful enough. Forgive us for not being faithful over the few. God, I know there's some stuff stored up for me, and I know it's waiting on me. And God, today I declare, in the next 6 months, I'm going to be faithful. I believe multiplication can happen because it's already been declared over this house. And because it's been declared over this house, God, it shall be in my house. So I receive it today. God, I'll put down the distraction. I'll put down the delusion. God, I'll put down my doubt. I'll put down the distrust. God, I'll put down the thing that's keeping me from being faithful unto you today. This is my second nature. My response is I'll be faithful because you've been faithful to me. You didn't give up on me. When everybody else did, you step right on in. Great is thy faithfulness. So today, God, we thank you in advance for what you're getting ready to do. God, it may not happen right now, but I know how to give you praise because it's on the way. It may not show up tomorrow, but I know it's on the way. Come on, it may not show up next week, but I'm going to be faithful because I know what you told me. God, I gotta hang on. I'm gonna hang on in there. So God, have your way in this place. And everybody who believed this prayer, and everybody believe God is gonna do exactly what he says he's gonna do. Come on, give God the best praise and say Jesus in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, all over this place.